People who don't know what the soul is are going to study the soul. So that's already a big, big problem. Okay? Is that they don't what I've noticed is with a lot of the techniques that are out there is that there's a lack of awareness of how it works and why it works. So really, we're the only people on the planet, even that we have access to Chassidus, where the Creator himself said, this is how I made you, this is how I created you. That's the only way that I could possibly know what's going on inside of a person. I could take your kidneys and I can dissect them, I can figure out how it works, but I can't do that with a soul. So we really should be at the forefront then of emotional work, mental health work. So basically, psychology can't really function and stand on its own without the ideas of what Torah and Tanya have to offer, what it has to share. Torah can obviously can stand on its own. It's the wisdom of the Creator. It's perfect. But I do believe, as hopefully we will connect with in the next few minutes, there's some ideas that are found in psychology that could really help us connect even deeper to ourselves. So that's what we'll get into. So that's my whole ruse. Imagine you're creating this lecture, as if we're teaching them, but we're always teaching ourselves. So let's look at, there's some core points psychology is missing, we'll get into. How this affects and changes some of the techniques that are out there. We could take a look at that also. And what our response is, well, let's teach you as, masters of Chassidus and Tanya, let's teach you psychologists, world psychologists, who is the person? What is the psyche? Because they can't possibly know what that is. Freud said a human being is id, ego, superego. I have no idea what that is. Sounds cool. It's made up. Most of the techniques in psychology are basically, we discovered that this kind of works. We don't really know why, but we discovered that it works. What's amazing is because we know that a human being is two souls, without a doubt. We have total awareness and clarity because the Creator of the universe revealed it to us. We have Chassidus through the Alter Rebbe and Tanya telling us. We can then take the techniques that are produced, that work in the world. They work in Hashem's world. We can take them and use them and be even more effective. Because if I understand at the core how something works, I can apply it differently and better and more effectively than other people. There's some things that the Rebbe has to say also. I've spent a lot of time working on translations of Igros Kodesh. And I also can't imagine doing this work without watching how the Rebbe interacts with people, how the Rebbe speaks to people, how the Rebbe sees people, and how the Rebbe guides and directs people. Okay? So we're at this conference, and we've got to come up with a lecture, right? Some points. How do we teach these people Tanya? But obviously the klal is it has to resonate in their life. It has to resonate in their world, right? You have to speak in the language that connects with people. So I saw a story, really cool story. It's probably well known. It was a story with Shimshon Stock, 1955. He brought a father and son. The son was bar mitzvah. They brought him to the Rebbe. So they had a yechidus. And at the end, the Rebbe said to the bar mitzvah boy, modern American boy, he said, are you into baseball? And he said, yes. He said, Yankees or Dodgers? That's when the Dodgers still were in New York. He says, I'm into the Dodgers. He said, your father feel the same? Like, no, that's not his team. He's like, okay. He said, you ever go to some games? He said, yeah, we do. We actually went to a game last week. He said, okay, how did it go? He said, it was horrible. The Dodgers were getting killed. They were losing 9-2 in the sixth inning. And so we left. So the Rebbe asked this question. It's unbelievable. He said, so did the players leave also? And he goes, Rebbe, come on. Let me explain how this works. The kid, he's empowering the kid. So the kid says, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, the fans are just watching, but they could leave at any time. The players have to keep playing. They have to keep trying to win. He says, oh, I see. So the Rebbe looked at the kid and said, this is what I want you to understand. In your Judaism, now that you're a man, I want you to be a player, not be a fan. Okay? And so there's a message. But the point being is we have to allow ourselves to climb into someone else's world to understand what turns them on, what excites them, if we want to talk and we want to get through to them. Okay? So how much time we have? We have till 12:30?
We are in all these, projectile or holographs. Everything is becoming more virtual as opposed to active participants. So
right.
You're a spectator as opposed to an active user.
Right.
So in this situation, with you saying, for example, with the Rebbe saying, are you a participant or are you just a spectator?
I meant that the Rebbe would talk baseball with a kid. Just that if I want to influence somebody, it's obvious, but if I want to influence somebody, I have to speak in words or ideas or concepts that are meaningful to them. So if I want to teach Tani to a bunch of psychologists, I have to speak it out in psychological language.
I mean, in business, the most utilized psychological impulses or urges are in marketing, where they're trying to attack and market their product to you
right.
on a psychological level. So
right.
That's right there. That's all psychological.
Right. So let's do that with Tanya. Let's make it psychological for them. Let's connect. So we go to 12:30? Till 12:30? Something like that? Okay. So here's one idea that's a massive idea, right? What I think, when I look at the Tanya, what really stands out for me is the idea that a person is two and not one. Okay? That you're two souls. You're two beings. There are different ideas. There are different thoughts or philosophies in the world that try with this idea. But we know for sure that a person is two. Psychology can't know that. Everything is all guesswork. But the fact that a person is two is a really profound, profound concept. Okay? It comes out in chapter 27. We could teach chapter 27, right? Where it says that the person, or is it 28? Where that the person that you think that because you have Machshava Zaras in your davening, that your tefillah is really worthless. It's really the opposite. That's chapter 28. It said, no, it's because you have two souls. So it's like a very practical thing. A lot of the challenges and difficulties a person faces has to do with the fact that they're really two. So to conceive a person's self as being two and not one is a very powerful, profound, and transformative type idea. So we could get into that with them. We could tell them, you know, this is an idea in Tanya, and we can help them understand that you have to see the person as two different parts. And then in essence, I think, I redefine, yeah?
They talk about the ego and super ego.
Yeah.
Bring in the nefesh sichus.
Yeah.
It might relate to that third process of looking at yourself in a sense. You don't not just a desire, right, to do something or a desire to do to holy things, but there's a process of looking at it.
Right.
Which could be the third.
You could do that, for the Freudians in the crowd. You could go in that direction. Yeah, for sure. The main thing is that when it comes to this realm, we have truth. We completely understand what this is, what a person is, meaning I have to see myself as two, really see myself as two parts. When I get angry, when I get anxious, when I'm happy, when I'm elated, when I'm challenged, when I'm struggling, to completely see myself as two. That's not completely understood in the world of just psychology, dealing with emotions, dealing with behaviors. And so it's a very profound idea that has a very big impact. I define therapy differently. However people out there do it, for me, it's how a person has a relationship with themselves. And literally, you could say the entire Tanya is teaching a person how to have a relationship with themselves, how to interact with themselves. So another direction this can go, and let's talk a technique. And this will get a lot of people in the crowd really interested. Inner child, right? Your inner child, healing your inner child trauma. All of the people that are dealing with, you know, my inner child, I have an inner child. They know there's something there. Ask a psychologist. No, for sure a person has an inner child.
You assume all the Baruch Hu know what you're referring to.
An inner child?
Yeah.
I am.
Can you elaborate on what that is?
Let's get into it. I'm getting there. So, thank you. If I say something that's not, you know, I haven't been around Bahrain in a while, so I've been online dealing with people, but please ask.
They're still children, right?
What's that?
They're still holding by their inner child.
I'm still holding by inner child.
Can I clarify something? I think some of the psychologists say that a person sometimes gets stuck at a certain age because
yes,
some trauma or something. So the inner child, it means that sometimes you're acting an undeveloped person. You're not using your
right.
adult capabilities.
I think that's true. I think if someone has a trauma or something difficult happens to them or they get stuck in life. I have a client who's a very successful film producer. And he struggles with imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome means I can't do this. You know? I'm not on the level. I'm not capable. I think everyone can relate to that. To those feelings, right? I can't do it. I'm not capable. I'm not that good. I'm not able to. So where did it come from? So as I start talking with him more and more, because the guy on, how do you have this? How do you have on one hand a person is capable, talented, clear beyond a shadow of a doubt. Logically, he understands. And at the same time, he constantly doubts himself, like, I'm not capable, I'm not worthy. So he has a memory. He's talking about getting stuck. He was, I think, 8 years old in class, and the teacher was discussing something, and I think they were talking about animals, maybe, talking about goats or something like that. And the teacher was discussing the difference, and everyone just tried to draw a picture of it on the board, and it was horrible. Everyone in the class pointed to this, to my client, and said, he's an amazing artist. Have him draw it on the board. And he gets up to the board, and he's an amazing artist. He'd been drawing for everybody for years. He gets up to the board, and he completely froze. He couldn't do it. Then the way the teacher handled it left what to be desired. The teacher just said, forget it, don't have time for this. Kind of, he still holds on to that memory. So talk about getting stuck. So here's an adult, 28, who's still holding on to that moment inside. But again, what's an inner child? It's a bizarre concept. And everyone's convinced, you know, you have to heal your inner child, work with your inner child, you know. This is the point. We don't know what it is. But for us, if I say that you have an animal soul and a godly soul, you say, fine, no problem. It's kind of hard to connect to. I mean, godly soul, chelek elokai mimal mamish, okay, fine. But on a daily basis, it's animal soul, godly soul, animal soul, godly soul. What if we said that my godly soul is my adult part and my animal soul is my child part? All of a sudden, it makes a little bit more sense. And then we could take them into chapters, chapter 6. Chapter 6, the Alter Rebbe describes the animal soul, the chesed, the gevur, the teferis, so the animal soul, all in childlike terms. For he says in chapter 3, verses chapter 6, he says that by the godly soul, it's intellect first, then emotions. That's maturity. That's an adult. And he says that in chapter 6, he says the animal soul is childlike. It's emotions first. I want what I want. Then I'll use my intellect to help me figure out how to go about and get it. And then over there he describes it. This is the first way I saw it. Is he said, the chesed, the gevur, and the tiferes of the animal soul are all very childlike. He literally says it, very childlike explanations. So you're right. Actually, you know, your question's awesome because it doesn't make sense. It's an inner child that feels like a child. It's. I think for psychologists, it's like, well, you're repeating certain patterns that you were stuck with as a kid. Okay. But how do I work with that? How do I connect with it? What the Tanya has to say completely transforms this. Totally, absolutely transforms. And this is, I would say for me, is the technique that I use the most with people, Jews and Gentiles alike, which is that, think about it, until I am 13, I'm an animal soul. Then my godly soul comes online at 13 years old. 13 years behind, and I have all this to catch up on. What's amazing, though, for me is when I'm working with people, and they'll tell me some of the triggering that goes on, or difficulties, or struggles, or in their relationship something happened, or I got really angry yesterday. I said, okay, fine, what happened? Tell me what happened. I said, yeah, but what were you feeling then? I don't know. I don't know what a feeling is. All right, here's a chart of feeling words. See which words match. Okay, fine. And this happens every single time. I said, okay, so in that moment with your boss, you were fighting and arguing, and it really pissed you off. Okay, fine. Well, give me some of the feeling words that match over there. Feeling words. Then I said, when else have you felt those feelings? And a childhood memory pops up where I had the exact same feelings present. So you can't possibly understand what an inner child is unless you have the idea of what Tanya is. It's an animal soul. Is that for the first 13 years of life, I was absorbing things and going through things. I came into the world looking to connect, looking to learn more about myself. And here I am as an adult. I have moments where I'm mature and I'm happy and I'm doing well. And then I have moments where I'm not doing well. I have moments where these emotional struggles come up and they're so familiar to the past. So I think we would completely transform the whole inner child technique whole thing. It's how I relate and interact with my animal soul. It's emotionally, how do I experience my animal soul on a day-to-day regular basis? So we would definitely focus on that point, and we would definitely get into it, and they would connect and they would understand, because all of a sudden the idea of an inner child would be, oh, yeah, that's right, two souls, animal soul, got it, 13, whole thing, okay. So that's why a person continues to struggle and experience emotions as an adult that they had back as a kid. Or that's why a person continues to find themselves in situations that bring out the same emotions and struggles that I went through as a kid. The cool thing is that I could work backwards. I, as an adult, see, the difference is healing then is about me working with it as an adult. If I have an argument, let's say at work, and I ask people, I say, yeah, but what were you feeling during that argument? They go, I don't know. But if I start to connect with that and work with that as an adult, I'm healing that inner kid part anyway. Or I can go back to childhood memories, and I could work on it, and I can heal myself in the present. So we could transform psychology that way also, right? What's the typical thing that goes on? Tell me about your mother in psychology and tell me about, you know, your childhood memories. You don't have to do that. If it's really true that that's my animal soul, it's my inner child, and it's present with me now, so I can just work on it now, and it works.
So the Nefesh HaBahamis always remain an inner child, always remain immature?
No, that's what your work is. That's the healing. That's what's going on.
The Elokis is the parent telling the Bahamas as a child to do all always, but the child doesn't grow?
No, it heals it. It works together with it. It's healing it. That's what the work then is.
Even at 28 or in your story or whatever it is?
It depends if the person worked on themselves or not. Most people that I see, most people that I work with are surrounded by people who are basically children in adult bodies. What if I never work on any of this stuff? I never heal any of these parts. So I remain stuck on that level. This is why you see people who behave in a way that's like very childlike. Doesn't make any sense. It's not rational. We bring a whole new vibe to this. The godly soul doesn't need any tikkun at all. Comes down into the world. So it's the same emotions that I had as a kid. It's just I could be the parent now. I could be the adult. I can work together with it. Okay? And then you see that. I mean, we can jump into that. You see in chapters 26, 27, 28, you see these themes of like, I'll determine when's a good time to work with my emotions. I won't reject it. Right? Chapter 26, he says a person has depression or sadness over spiritual matters. Just suddenly comes up. And what's Alter Rebbe's response? This is real sadness? Did you really meditate and contemplate on how much you're struggling over there, that you should have true sadness or what's going on? Like, no. So what does he say? Now is not the right time. That sounds very parenting. But that's the right healing approach, which is don't reject what's going on. Just, I need to be the adult in my life. I need to work on my definition of therapy is learning how to have a relationship with myself, which is entirely what Tanya's saying. He's saying, don't reject it. Deal with it later on at the right and proper time. And so this theme goes on and continues on and on. But I could see people in life are either facers or avoiders. So this is where all of your addictions then come in. And there's other chapters we can get into what addictions are at. But that's what I notice. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, as I work with people, they're like, I'm like, you're going to be the adult in the room. So like that's the other thing is that what Chassidus is adding over here, the ability to define like what's success, what's the goal? The goal is this mature, healthy relationship with these two parts.
So as a leader, would you characterize that as a person who is the adult in the room in his own personal self?
That's a leader?
Yeah, because he's leading, let's say the parent is leading, as opposed to the Fajr Muhammad is the child.
Yeah, you can navigate your relationships way better. Way, way better. For example, when I work with somebody, this comes up a lot, the workplace, and you're managing a bunch of people at work. Everyone brings their emotional baggage, you know, this terms. Everyone brings their emotional struggles, their anxieties, their lack of self-esteem, confidence. They bring it with them into that environment, into that workplace. But nobody's dealing with it. No one's dealing with those emotions. But if I'm in touch with myself, so I don't take it personally, and I watch how a person reacts or responds to different situations, so I can see that person needs validation or reassurance. I could give it to them, but I'm not attached to it, you know? That's like chapter 28, we're talking about elevating thoughts, right? You see, you have a negative thought and find the emotional source of it and you can elevate the whole thing, and the Alter Rebbe says that's ridiculous. It's like you yourself are stuck down below and you're gonna go and elevate it. So he says over there that tzaddikim can come and elevate thoughts because they're not even their own thoughts. So if I myself can be in a good, healthy, safe, stable place, the way I then interact with other people starts to change. But that's what happens. When I look at a person, what am I seeing? You're really a combination between two souls. See, once you add two souls into the conversation, okay, so and the only three methods of expression are thought, speech, and action. So now I know what I'm looking at. So the state of a person, their health, their well-being, their success, is how are you doing in relation to these two souls? I would say the vast majority of people have not done any work whatsoever, so they remain on a childlike level, even as they are as an adult. So that, to me, now you have a different definition of success, is developing and advancing this relationship between these two parts, trying to get to know that inner kid part, trying to advance, trying to grow. Yeah?
So what you're doing, in this example, the workplace, is you're becoming like the nefesh alakis, you're becoming, you're keeping a distance looking at this person, and it's like that person is your nefesh bahamis, in a sense.
You can do
and
that,
you're
yeah.
kind of sure. dealing with, instead of being taken personally,
yes.
you're actually just distancing and dealing with them and helping them build themselves.
Right, but that's the hayom yom is, yeah. and that's what the hayom yom, right, is what therapy is, right? Or it's supposed to be. It's two godly souls working together to mentor an animal soul. So if who are unsuccessful therapists, where does a person have to be careful if I go for help, and how advanced and developed is the therapist? Which, by the way, to really be successful in helping a person in a psychology or therapeutic context, you have to have humility. You have to be in touch with yourself so that I can put myself aside. So if the person freaks out or says something, I don't take it personally. I could just be with them. I don't know how people do that without Chassidus. I try my best to do it even with Chassidus. But to really, it means I have to be present. I'm there focusing on the other person, right? A successful mishpia, a successful teacher, right? When a person is talking, that's all the Rebbe was a master of this. Nothing else existed, you know? Like the awesome story last night where the Rebbe looked at Rabbi Amar for a second, and just the world ceases to exist, you know? But to be able to be present and tuned into another person is so much of the healing. But if I'm still full of myself, I can't really do that. So yeah, a lot of people take it personally, right? But it's not. They're having their own experience. I'm experiencing their own animal soul. If I haven't worked through my stuff, then I'm going to be triggered by your stuff. So I can't really do it. Yeah?
How is it possible to have a refined nefesh bahamis or a chassidish nefesh bahamis or an intellectual nefesh bahamis if the base, like, not even to work yourself, just naturally more refined? If you're a child, if your nefesh bahamis is an inner child,
how does it grow? How does it mature? How does it advance?
Not only that, but some people are just born with more refined nature than other people.
Sure. So then you can't change. You can't grow.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that some people are going with less childish tendencies.
Yeah.
Nefesh bahamis.
Sure.
So how does that? How does it work? When you're a child, you don't have any intellectual,
right?
Not really any intellectual capabilities. But if you have a nefesh bahamis that naturally has some more of a refined nature, how is that going to this inner child? Different things of the inner child. Because as a kid, you're saying that you don't have a nefesh bahamis, so you can't make it grow. You only start growing at 13. If at 13, I just bring in to have a nefesh bahamis. I have a very refined nefesh bahamis. Where does that come from?
Well, what if you grew up in an environment that was very healthy, that was very reassuring, very validating, okay?
Yeah.
So then you're basically, what's going on is I'm just an animal soul, and my parents are parenting me, okay? So what happens once I turn bar mitzvah is now I have a godly soul. I have an adult part. So now I'm starting to learn how to parent myself. So even according to halacha, until you're 20, there's no... the consequences for sins is different. I need time to get to know what that is. How does every person, okay, now I'm 13, so I have this other voice that kicked in. How do I start to interact with myself the way I saw myself being parented until now? So if that was healthy, so then, and if you're, let's say your nature is as such, you were just born that way, and then environmentally how you were raised was very conscious, thoughtful, successful, met your needs. It's not an obligation to be unhealthy. It's not an obligation to be depressed or anxious or stressed out. But where some of that didn't happen, that then becomes my mission in life, which is another major, major idea over here. According to the world of psychology, you have problems, you have issues, we have to get rid of it, it's terrible, it's bad. Comes the Tanya, right? Chapter 27, this is what you're made for. Your own unique struggles are amazing. Now, they don't have God, so they don't add God into the picture, but like I'm trying to become a Bainian. I was created to do this. I was meant to grapple and struggle, which now makes sense, because if I think I'm one person, I'm one part, so then what's wrong with me? Why am I great one day and I suck the next? Why am I confident one day and I'm so nervous and anxious the next day?
But so there's no graduation? You're just going to a more refined level? You're never going to graduate from childhood?
Ask, what do you mean? Ask, that's your questions on the Alter Rebbe. I mean, he's saying that this is your inner struggle then for your life. You're grappling, you're growing, you're maturing, you're developing, there's deeper levels, I'm advancing. That's what I'm created for. It's a beautiful, it's a positive thing. As opposed to saying you have issues and challenges we have to eradicate, and there's something wrong with you until we do it.
Which means that it says, what if there's nobody else around? Then you have to ask yourself. Meaning you have to become the Bain. What if you're 90 years old and you're making the Seder by yourself? Kana Bain Shel Ma.
Right.
The Bain has to ask for Ma. He has to ask for Bittul.
Right.
So no, we never graduate. Forever.
But that part can advance. That part can mature. That part can develop. But now we have a focus over here. We have an approach. Over there, by the world of psychology, it's just here are issues, make it go away. I'm anxious, make it go away, make it stop. Right? I have anger, I get angry, make it stop, make it go away. So there's something wrong with me until I fix it.
Just numb that part?
Not at all. If you really connect with these parts.
Just blast it out of the ego?
Yeah. No, not at all. There's building a relationship with two parts is, for example.
No, I'm saying at the psychological level.
Oh, what the psychology is? It's got to be removed. You got to get rid of it. It's bad. There's something wrong. No, we need treatment. We need medication. Even if I give you tips and tools, the vibe is that there's something wrong until we fix it. This is saying, yeah, 1 second. This is saying, like, the fact that you're grappling with anxiety for whatever it is, there's something deeper. There's a part of you trying to communicate with you. I've never seen a case where anxiety wasn't either a person who felt like, I'm under attack constantly, or I don't feel safe, and therefore I'm always on edge. Like, well, let's talk about how come you don't feel safe. Or there's a part of me, animal soul, child self, that's trying to communicate with me. How do I communicate with myself? How do I start getting in touch with that part? And when I do, all of those symptoms start to fade, more or less. Or my application of different techniques become more effective because I'm getting into the core of it. But yeah, so I'm good now. This is what I'm born for. Chapter 9, the godly soul is inside the animal soul and then in the body so that they're meant to interact with each other, to build a relationship. So my state of health and well-being is where am I in the relationship between these two parts of myself? But without a doubt, I have two parts. I'm here to do this work and I'm grappling with it. I'm totally online doing the right thing. Not I'll only be good and okay when. Yeah.
Yeah, so in the first technique that the Alter Rebbe gives in Tanya is Perek Yudalid, Amira Lelev. So
right.
That would be, and he does it four times in Tanya, Amira Lelev, to say clear instructions, clear words that the Nefesh of Bahamas can understand, and it's going to listen.
Yeah.
If you're able to
have right.
A script.
That chapter is amazing because he's showing you it's relationship, 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 relationship. The entirety of it is how to have a relationship with yourself. He doesn't say ignore it. He doesn't say suppress it. He doesn't say self-medicate it. He says talk to it, connect with it. Why does that work? Chapter 12 already told me, Moyach Shalat al-Lelev. I have certain tools, I have certain abilities in which, and it makes it fair, right? Because the animal soul, the child part, has this 13-year head start. How's that fair? I'm always playing catch-up. But then the godly soul itself has the advantage of mind ruling over the heart. There's an advantage that's there. And being that now, and also now, something psychology can't possibly know either. Because Alter Rebbe tells us, where's my godly soul? It's mostly in the mind, but it also is in the heart. What's that?
The neshama is sitting in a Gan Eden for who knows how many thousands of years, so the neshama also has a head start.
Right, for sure. And so they have Moyach Shalat al-Lev. Yeah, you have it for sure. And you have more. But I'm saying in my conscious existence, I don't recall my previous lifetimes, and I'm not aware yet of what was going on in Gan Eden.
Doesn't remember his childhood.
What's that?
Rabbi Mar says most adults, at a certain point, they stop remembering certain memories pre a certain year.
But this is a fascinating, the memories that people do recall are fascinating. Fascinating. And how is it that the emotions are still present? If I think about the memories that I do recall from childhood, and the emotions are still right there. Which also makes sense. Nefesh habasar bedamhi. How come I physically experience my anxiety? I physically experience my lack of self-esteem or confidence because the animal soul is embedded in the body. Which is also why if I'm tired, hungry, stressed out, some of the issues that I struggle with are going to be more intensified. You can't explain that in psychology.
I mean, the blood pressure goes up, the vessel goes up.
Yes.
Right away.
Yes. So I'm having because the child part is the animal soul is deeply connected to the physical body. And we can explain that and understand that. Psychology can't, because they can't know what's inside the person. We do. So then we can then take their techniques, which work. The psychological techniques that are out there that are effective means that certain techniques work in Hashem's world. So there's something to it. We can explain it. I've yet to see. I've taken different techniques that are out there that are effective. You know, you hear different ideas and techniques, and I'm like, okay, how do I explain that according to two souls? And it's always the same. The techniques that are effective can be explained according to the fact that someone has two souls.
Yeah. I think it's just Nefesh HaBahamas. So if someone wants to sit well, we still need to go to therapy and do that. is Hasidic speech solution, David.
Can you do it yourself through Hasidus?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be. You need help from someone from the outside.
I just don't think about that because it's like I'm hired to help people. You know? You know? You know?
Maybe there's a difference between Rafua and Avodah Hashem.
That's for sure true. For sure true.
That's why by Rafua you need a Rafa. Well, Avodah Hashem is Tanya. So they overlap, but they're different.
Yeah. But I think if you look at the Tanya itself is written, how do I succeed in Torah mitzvahs? And there's a lot of language of war and battling. And but the way the Rebbe looks at it is that we've got to adapt it and adjust and understand things in our generation, right? All the answers to all the questions can be found there. We just have to be looking for it. So how do I adapt it? That's what this conversation is. How do I look at it a bit more psychological so I can connect to it, right? So in everything that I do, I can get to know it. I can connect with it. Yeah. Someone's had a question?
So in that case, also when it comes to chinuch, if the moment you're suppressing the child, or you're punishing the child, you're not validating, then it's a moment lost, an opportunity lost that could take 20 years to reclaim by your psychologist.
We need different techniques. It needs to be acknowledged. But that's the same thing saying, like, when I say that now is not the right time, right? Chapter 26. Okay, you have a person who's depressed over spiritual failings. Okay, so it says, when am I getting depressed? In the middle of business, so it's not authentic. He doesn't say reject it. Doesn't say push it away. It's acknowledge, but then I'm going to say when to do it, when to deal with it. Now is not the right time. Okay, what's the number one technique? For cognitive behavioral therapy is using your mind to work with your behaviors. What if you have insomnia, right? So a lot of times people have insomnia, they can't sleep. So they developed an approach to helping people get better to sleep.
Sound chain or something like that?
What's their number one technique that's over there? Literally what the Alter Rebbe says, they call it the worry window. An hour or two before you go to sleep, sit down with a pen and a paper, invite all your anxieties and worries to come up, put it all out on paper, but then close the window and you're done. Otherwise, you lay in bed for hours going over everything that you didn't allow yourself to focus on in phase because you're busy with your phone or working or different other things. Literally from what we're saying over here in Tanya. So it definitely works. It's definitely effective. So there's overlap. Again, how did they discover it? I don't know, trial and error. But we already know that it works. What's the point? It's not to reject and it's not to put myself down. It's not to hate on myself. It's like, okay, that's happening. Let's now deal with it in a certain way. Let's deal with it. Let's figure out how to deal with it, or when to deal with it, or the right way to deal with it. Even chapter 27 is like, okay, this is fine, no problem. We're struggling over here. That's okay. You're allowed to struggle. But I don't have to then be depressed all day long from it. I can then decide when I'm going to go face it. I'm going to work through it.
How do you know if someone is bringing up an issue, saying, okay, I have this problem, and he's just projecting, at a certain level, now when you want to give your input to say to the inner child or his inner child, but he's not listening. So you're acknowledging, but you can't redirect, you can't get your input in.
Right.
Or you're telling your teenage child, no, you're not getting your Wi-Fi.
Sometimes in therapy, you're reparenting somebody, which is just like for example, this guy who this movie producer who feels he's inferior. And I'm just like, I'm pointing out like, wow, you did this really successfully. Wow, you really handled this very well. And it took a lot of times. And eventually, once there was more trust that I'm not full of it and doing it just because he's paying me, and I'm hearing him and connecting with him, someone can be a surrogate parent. It's like, you can feel what you want to feel, but I'm telling you this. This is what I see. And then slowly the person themselves can come to hear it. Because deep down, an animal soul can become healed, right? Why is the chapter of the tzaddik is inside of the Tanya? If we're not going to become a tzaddik, but it's that the Yetzirah could be removed from it, and it can move more towards the side of the godly soul. The godly soul is not going to move more towards the side of the animal soul. So deep down, it really wants to heal. It really wants to grow. Nobody deep down wants to be anxious or struggling or depressed or uncertain about themselves. It wants to grow and heal. So it comes along somebody who's, I mean, that's why I think it's a powerful technique. I think it's worth engaging with the world of psychology. It just needs these other tools to make it much more effective. But deep down, a person wants to heal. I don't want to see myself as, you know, not consistent with who I really am.
I'm just thinking the implications of chinuch would be tremendous because mm-hmm. it could be the difference between raising someone to be a mensch, or chassid, or successful entrepreneur, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Then you have ruach shtus. What's ruach shtus? Delusion. I'm not in touch with who I really am. Number one, I'm not in touch with the love I naturally have for the Creator. And I'm in delusion that a sin is going to cut me off from the Creator. Total delusion. But I'm clinging to it. I'm totally clinging to that idea. So you see that. So how do you break through that? At this, all the while, it's not true. And there's a part of me, if gets pushed, right, to a place of mesiras nefesh, convert or die, and all of a sudden that part is going to start to come out. So you see that deep down, it is possible. So there's a technique called motivational interviewing. Okay, it was developed for dealing with addictions. It's literally this point. If you present somebody the inconsistency with their thinking or their feeling, right, the person says, I want to be successful and I want to have a business and I want to do all these things. Okay, I hear that. Then you say, okay, now you're doing, but you're also behaving like this and doing like this and doing like this. What are the consequences of that? Oh, it totally prevents me from having the things that I said that I want. It's the same thing. How do I break through a ruach shtus? I'm living in delusion, but deep down there's a certain truth. We need to present that to the person, that they're living inconsistently, because deep down the person still really wants it. They've just stuck, or they made the decision so many times, right? Chapter 19 talks about that the soul can be covered up to the level of chachma, right? Until a test or a nisayon in faith, you know, convert or die, you know, comes and brings it out. So that every addict is exactly the same. When I first, you know, I first went to school for social work, I was working in a drug addiction facility. So certain people have made decisions so many times to use and abuse substances that it's almost like they lost free choice. But because I made that decision so many times. But deep down is the possibility and the potential to break out of that and connect.
So that's 99.9% delusion?
The person's living in delusion, but there's a part of them, they're saying, like, if I connect with a person, I work with a person, I'm treating them in the way that they want to be treated, it's being modeled for them. Then they can absorb that themselves and start to take it on themselves. Again, it comes back to what the Tani's teaching us. Learn how to have a relationship with yourself. Be in a relationship with yourself. So it's not just, I'm anxious, I got to make it go away. It's like, why am I feeling anxious? What's going on with me? What is it teaching me? What is it talking to me about? You know? How does it work with a child? A small little child, I think about this a lot. You have a small little child, Chovas Levavo says, unbelievable line, says that if a small baby realized how dependent it was on the parents to survive, they would die from fright. It's too much, it's too overwhelming. But us as parents are trying to tune into a child to be aware of what do you need, what do you want? And then it works. You can see that also. A lot of people did not have that. They had, let's say, the parents were not aware of them. They were more aware of the parent, and then they struggled from it. But the healing then is this relationship with myself, or actively being involved and aware, like, what's going on with me? It's like I said, it's not like, oh, I'm anxious, I got to make it go away. That's a psychological approach. The Tanya approach is to say, like, I'm anxious, okay, what's up? I am not the anxiety, I'm two different parts, I'm two different souls. There's a kid inside that needs something. Okay, talk to me, can I help? What do you need? How can I be of service? All right.
Can you say as the Buddha about the comparison between this and the chinuch, and that the Peter Kreber wrote a conscious kol yechinuch v'hadracha.
Yeah.
The kol yechinuch v'hadracha, the Peter explained at length the idea of chinuch in the context of making on yourself. That the chinuch starts with the chinuch of yourself.
Right.
And that this, that we're supposed to do avodah with the nefesh of the nefesh of Amis, that will teach them how to be mechanech other people also.
Right. And if I've been exposed to bad chinuch with self, then that's what I then need to work on and overcome. You have to overcome it. Two points I picked up from the Rebbe in Igris I'd love to share with you, and then I think we're at our time. But I've had the fortune of working on translations of Igris. Yeah, what's up? I was shaking your watch. I'm with you. Let's add a few more, you know, two more effective points over here. So generally speaking, I mean, the Rebbe says one of the things quoted the most And I noticed it just from seeing a lot of letters. My personal opinion, I mean, if people write to the IGRIS, awesome. I think being involved in the letters, seeing a lot of letters, is allowing yourself to be inspired and mentored and impacted by the Rebbe. And I never met the Rebbe. My wife went for dollars, but I didn't merit, although I grew up on Long Island 30 minutes away, but I was too Reformed Jewish to know anything was going on. But I feel my entire relationship with the Rebbe, the Igris is so unbelievable, but it comes just hanging out with those letters and watching, you're literally, the Rebbe saying, be a fly on the wall and watch me interact with other people. It's an incredible thing. I encourage you all just to get into it. What did I notice? Two things I noticed I want to share with you, and then whatever, we'll find more time to talk. One of the quotes, one of the psukim that are quoted, I think, the most in Igris, Chuois Berov Yoetz. Rebbe says it again and again. It's not Rov Eitza. I misquoted it many times. It's Rov Yoetz. Chuois is salvation through a lot of advisors. To seek out people who can be helpful and supportive to me. Rov Eitza would be, you tell me what to do. It's like, no, I need to be an active participant. I need to talk with people. I need to hear how they think, how they feel, how they experience what they're going through in order to absorb it and make my decisions. Help me in my relationship with myself.
What's the pasuk that we used?
Chuois Berov Yoetz. I think it's Mishle. Yeah. The other thing that blew me away, and I really want to find the letter, I think it's Chelek Yudalid. Yeah, it's a pasuk in Mishle.
Second half of pasuk.
Yes.
Without plans, the nation will fall.
Right. Nice. You know you're not. Nice. Shkoyach. You know where, what chapter it's in?
Yeah.
I'm not challenging you, just if people want to look it up. But I mess up. I used to think that it was Eitza, but it's not. It's Rov Yoetz.
You type the pasuk in Google, and today just type the pasuk in Google, will come up exactly where it is.
You'll get it. But the frequency, how often the Rebbe says this verse, is like unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. So to seek out people can help me help myself in my own. In own interactions. And then something that guides me constantly in the work that I do, and we can all do it with ourselves, and we can do it with the people around us. I saw the Rebbe say this many times. It's not a thing the Rebbe said, it's the way the Rebbe responded to people. And I only saw it because I saw it several times. And there was one time, what's that? No, that's
something else.
Chuas Berov Yoetz?
No.
Anything.
Bouncing it off backwards.
Rebbe's talking to somebody about real estate. Rebbe's talking to somebody about some gashmias decision they have to make in their life. Chuas Berov Yoetz. To allow myself to not have to, like, I don't have to have all the answers. I'm allowed to get help and support.
That's okay.
This one really, really floored me, and I use it all the time. I use it all the time. I think it's Chelek Yudalid where I saw it, and it was like really over the top. Someone had written to the Rebbe, like a duch, about everything they achieved and accomplished. The Rebbe responds, because you don't know exactly what the letter is, but it's understood from the response. This blew me away. He writes one line, Yashar Koach, and then goes on for 3 pages about what the person needs to do more because they just succeeded at what they succeeded at. With so many pages of like the Rebbe believing in them and feeling, but he acknowledged and celebrated the victory first. We don't celebrate our victories enough, our own, the people around us, because it means I got it right. I can, in fact, get it right. I can be successful in this relationship with myself.
We're self-doing AI.
Yeah. Right. But I can, in fact, be successful. We need to do it with ourselves and celebrate our victories. Even if it's just a moment, a little bit of acknowledgement. I don't get more value out of ignoring it and pushing more on the gas to go work on more things and continue. I don't. I get more by saying, yeah, that was a success. I can, in fact, succeed. Let me go do more of that. I get more gain myself and my own work with myself and with the people that are all around me. And I'll try to find this letter, but it was 3 pages or more. But the Rebbe didn't say, oh, by the way, you did really great afterwards. No, it was the very first line. It was a pat on the back. Anyway, if it was a lecture, it would be successful.